Welcome to War Gaming Recon. I am the... Let's start that again.
Wow.
Every time. Every time now.
I've been awake since 2, okay? War Gaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018. At the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to War Gaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. War Gaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 197, the Holiday Gift Guide 2017. So I want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike, because I think you're in for a treat. This episode has become somewhat of a tradition here at War Gaming Recon. We do it every year. We've been doing it for about 5 or 6 years now in a row, and people just love this episode. When you get to the holiday season, it can be stressful for many, many reasons, but especially if you're a gamer, because people don't often understand us, what it is that we like, what we want, or maybe you are someone who doesn't really know what to get another gamer in your life. So the Holiday Gift Guide tries to offer some suggestions at different price points so that you can see what other options are out there, and maybe you'll be able to find something for that special gamer in your life. Or maybe you can say, hey, I really like this. I want that for myself. And you can tell the others in your life that that might be a good gift idea for them to consider. So we try to make it easy, try to de-stress a little bit of the holiday season. So no matter what you celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, or Festivus, or anything else, this should make life a little bit easier. And so this time around, we're actually doing things a little bit differently, because I am joined by not one, but two of our Wargaming Recon co-hosts. So I want to welcome Mr. Adrian Benson and Mr. Mike Payne. How are you, fellas?
I'm doing fine.
Doing all right. Yeah.
Are you as excited as I am?
Yeah, I'm more excited than you are.
Yeah, can't you tell?
Of course. So, Adrian, let's just tackle that now. So it's come up, actually. This is something I normally would put into feedback, but it's come up a lot from some listeners. They've wanted to know if you are truly as deadpan as that in real life. And I've told them the answer is yes.
You guys answered. You two know me in real life.
Without a doubt. I love it.
People are like, so does he put that on for the show? Is he just all, like, what makes him laugh? And I think I said I made you laugh once, maybe twice in the 10 plus years that I've known you. And I consider that a triumph.
Yeah, and I think you were in pain both times. So that
I probably was. So you heard it here, straight from the horse's mouth, as it were.
There you go. Right. No longer need to ask that question.
Well, I know, right? More than you would think, actually. I tried to remind people about those pictures that we posted up on Facebook. So whenever, Adrian, you know, whenever we're playing the game, especially for the first time, and I say, make your happy face.
Yeah. This is it.
That is it. It's funny. It's true, but it's funny. So for today, I thought it might be really interesting for us to each kind of work our way through our lists, and everyone just has a chance to kind of comment as we go along. And as I said at the start of the show, the list is divided into three different price points. Broadly, you know, affordable or $1 sign, medium range $2 signs, and expensive $3 signs. And for monetary values, we're using United States dollars. So, of course, if you're listening from another part of the world, prices are going to vary a little bit. And we generally kind of break those down into under $20, under $50, or $100 and up. And we'll have links in the show notes. Some of them will be affiliate links, which means it's not going to cost you any extra. But the places that you purchase from will send a little bit of money our way as thanks for sending them some business. So just to get that out of there. And you can get the show notes by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR197. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR197. So do you guys mind if I kick things off with a few things from my under $20?
Nope, knock yourself out.
Well, let me find something heavy. I think this could work, and if I just bludgeon myself repeatedly, I might actually knock myself out. One of the first things on my list for under 20, you need to have trees, right? When you game, you need to have some terrain. No matter where you are in the world, there's going to be some sort of plant life. Even if you're in the desert, you can have some sort of dead shrub or something. But I think you can do really well with Bachman Scenescapes 5 to 6 inch blue spruce trees. They're roughly $15.31 via our Amazon affiliate link. And I'm holding one up. If you happen to watch, we do live streams of the show. We put them up on YouTube after the fact. You can see, so I am holding up a blue spruce. And I just, it's a gorgeous tree. It's nice size for 28 mil. Nice. And then, Adrian, you did a really great job with the basin. Just some, what is that? Is that balsa wood?
MDF? Just grit.
No? And then just some substrate on. It looks good.
Yeah, it's an MDF base from Litco and basin grit from, I think, Gale Force 9. I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, do you know, it looks like a GF9 kind of coloration. People are probably thinking I'm full of it, but each place has their own color, and you can kind of tell. But you get, like, what was it, like 6 of them in the box, I think?
Yeah, and 6 per box.
What you glue it to the base with?
Just Elmer's glue, white glue. Yeah.
No, did you dilute that at all?
No.
So you just put some Elmer's down, some white PVA glue, and let it, set for 24 hours or something like that?
That's
and
it.
And you're golden. You get 6 of them, so a couple boxes, and you get yourself a forest. And if you base them the way Adrian did, because thank you for basing all of our trees, Adrian. If you base them one per tree, you can actually spread them out so that if you need a forest or an area effect, you just kind of do the outline of it. So I know some people might be like, if you put like 5 or 6 on a base and you do like an area effect, that way you really limit yourself if you just want a tree. So I think
you can bunch them all together too if you want.
Yeah, you could.
Yep.
You get a lot of options there.
Yeah, a lot of people base stuff up as area terrain. I don't usually do that because, well, like you said, I think if you base stuff individually, you get a little more flexibility. Area terrain's not a bad way to go, but
yeah, I do both. Depends on what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
I think my instinct would be to base it as an area piece because I would think like a forest. How often are you going to see a single tree? But you might just want a single tree, or even if you are doing the area, this way you can kind of just move it. So that way you don't have to worry about, models not being able to fit or whatever.
If I do area basing for trees, I make them pretty small anyway.
Yeah.
You can bunch them all together if you want to make it work. So
the next thing under my under 20 category, and you guys are going to give me some, you're going to poke fun at me for it, partly because of what it is, and also partly because, as longtime listeners will know, these valuations for the tiers are fluid in my mind. So as long as I'm close, I figure it's okay. So I kind of break the rules a little bit. So I think you could get a one-month subscription.
Just a rebel.
I am a rebel. You could get a one-month subscription to ModelBox. It's going to cost you $28.44 if you use our special promo code of RECON10. That's capital RECON and the number 10. Saves you 10% off your first ModelBox. We have a link in the show notes, of course. And I can tell you right now, the one I'm holding up in the video, it's their October one or Orktober. It's a lot of cool stuff. We've talked about it before. I've done unboxing videos. You get models. You don't always know what you're going to get, which is okay. But they tell you the theme. You get paint, because I know some people would just be like, just put paint on your list. So this one happens to be green paint. Get that. Get some figures. Get one of their cool goblin painting hand things. And this one happens to come with a ruler. It's a neat ruler. For November, they're doing it. I have to renew my subscription, actually. But they're doing samurai. And so they're going to be doing 28mm figures from well-known samurai sets, which to me says they're doing some Test of Honor figures. And I love Test of Honor. We played it. Was it Huzzah, Adrian? Was that when we played it?
Yeah, it was this past year at Huzzah.
So, like, we like the game. It's not something I would necessarily go out and buy figures for, just because I don't have any Asian terrain. But
I have a little.
Oh, see, there you go. The model box is great.
I'd like to try that game, but I'm not going to collect it. But I'd like to try it.
You got to play it. It's kind of
fun. It is. Yeah, looks fun.
Looks cool.
You don't need a lot of space, right? It's 3 feet by 3 feet that you need, I think, for it.
Yeah, 3 by 3.
I got that.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of space. Don't really need a lot of terrain, actually.
No, don't need a lot of figures. And technically, any terrain you really need, they sell. It's put out by, I think, Ceresa. So it's that MDF stuff. You got to paint it, but pretty easy to assemble, I'm told.
Yeah.
But Model Boss.
Everything I've seen looks pretty cool.
It's a fun
game.
Put
some of that on your Christmas list.
Do you know? Maybe it appears later on in my list because we're still at the very affordable range.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't want to jump ahead.
But Model Box. I know Model Box has been a little controversial for some of us here on the show, Mike. But
you know, I didn't put them down. It's just not my thing.
No,
I think it's great for somebody, just not for me. That's all.
I think the points you raised when we've talked about
it. I got too much crap as it is.
You raised really valid opinions, though, about it. And I think people who aren't in favor of Model Box.
You make it sound like I put it down, and I really didn't.
No, I mean, I don't mean to imply that you were like, this is awful.
I know you didn't mean to, but you did.
You just, if I remember, you did say it wasn't for you, but you couldn't quite understand the appeal to it.
Well, yeah, I can't, but that doesn't make it a bad thing.
No.
I recommend really movies that nobody likes.
No, that's true.
You know? So, no, don't go by me. I'm just telling you what I think. That doesn't mean I'm right.
And that's one of the things that I think is really good about having multiple of us on the gift guide episode. Because in the past, it used to just be me. So I'd be like, here's my list, people. But by having multiple of us on, we each kind of have different areas that we really like. So I think it provides a more full worldview of wargaming for people to give more options out there. Because mine are clearly going to be geared towards a certain thing. But Mike, like yours are going to be completely different. And Adrian, yours are going to be different too. We might have some overlaps, but we just kind of reach out a little bit more, cover more area.
Yeah, I'm not really going to do, I'm not going to be much help on this, to be honest with you. I haven't given it 2 seconds thought.
I think when we say, hey, Mike, what do you have to say? You're going to be surprised what you come up with.
Well, I always have something to say. But actually, a little while ago, I was looking at things in the basement. They got a few things that I think are kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I got one more for my under $20 level, and this might be a bit of a cop out, but I think I think it's a really good gift idea. So I think people should consider getting an Amazon gift card. We have an affiliate link. Do it for like $20, and there's just so much gaming stuff on Amazon. A lot of things that are on this list that I have, and I'm sure some of the things that you guys are going to share. And things we didn't even think of, you can get from Amazon. So if you're an Amazon member, you know, you get your free 2-day shipping and all that kind of stuff. But even if you're not, the gift card is great because you give that and $20 gets you almost to what you need for free shipping. I think you have to spend like $25 now from Amazon if you're not a Prime member. And then you get free shipping. And then they heavily discount all these games and other stuff. So you give it to whomever and they can find whatever it is that they want that maybe you didn't think of. And then they can just kind of put it in the Amazon account, and then they spend it on whatever they need, whatever appeals to them. And then this is really nice because it can be a last-minute thing. Like maybe you thought you got something for Bob in the office, and it turns out you didn't get him something. You can send it digitally, and they have all different options for designs and all sorts of stuff. So I think it's a really cool thing. But I know some people be like, oh, gift card.
Yeah, no comment on that one.
Yeah, I'm not buying anything for Bob in the office. But yeah.
So for Lisa in the office. So those are my under 20. Which do you want to pipe in next with your under 20?
Well, I was looking at things in the basement earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna click over to it right now. So you're going out of my vision so I can look at it.
Okay.
And they had some pretty cool stuff, I thought. The miniatures that they were selling, which, you know, Jorg makes some really cool buildings, but he's also got some miniatures that he sells. And I saw one that I really liked. Adrian has seen it. Have you ever seen The Longest Day, Jonathan?
I have. It's been a long time, but I have seen it.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, the the Beachmaster with the bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got a miniature of that, and it has nothing to do with anything I'm going to do with that, but I got to have it.
Yeah, that's funny. I saw the same thing, and I was thinking the same thing. I got to have that guy.
Do you remember what they call it?
I'm looking for it now, and somehow I screwed up.
And they have a really good mini of Dick Winters that people would know from Band of Brothers.
That might be there, too. I'm trying to find the... I thought I had this all set up here, and of course I screwed it up. I sent the link to my wife, and that would be a way I could find it too. I sent because I made a little suggestion that this might be a nice little stocking stuffer for me.
Oh,
yeah, Captain Colin Maud.
You know, because I'm buying it myself if I don't get it from her, but I want it.
So oh, you found it?
It's really cool. I'm getting close. yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call the model. And the guy's name in the movie, it's odd that I remember, but it's Colin Bett.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I found him $6.50 American, Captain Colin Douglas.
Yeah, $6.50. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a steal. 28 millimeter. That's white metal.
That's Winston, cards. His dog. Down, Winston. Yeah, it's just a cool little model. I got to have that.
Yeah.
And there's some other nice ones, too. I kind of wish I was doing Europe when I see some of these because it would be kind of fun to do. The movie, you know, those would be great little scenarios. You guys could do it. You guys do world.
Yeah, we could actually. As a matter of fact,
these would look really good in doing some bolt action.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I love some of these other figs too, but this one I fell in love with. I gotta have that.
Well, with the dog, it's just a lot of character there.
Yeah. I have to figure up some goofy way to get it into my. I'll come up with something.
Cool.
And then he's got these other figures too that are kind of neat that just came out.
Oh, are they the pinup girls?
Yeah. Those, you're looking at those? Those are kind of neat.
Well, I remember when he promoted them because he was like, oh, here are these pinup cards. And he was doing historical pinup girls.
Ken Eckert painted them all and they look, that was nice. They look really good.
Yeah, Ken's amazing.
Yeah, I did a nice job on them.
Yeah, you can get the
full
set. I
don't think I'll be collecting them, but I really like them.
Well, I think the full set of the North and Southern Beauties and Bells is only $35.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what, like six, eight figures?
Yeah, so I'm throwing that on my list while I'm at.
Yeah, they're really nice. And we're saying pinup girls, but you got to keep in mind for the time.
Yeah, they're not. It's not cheesecake. It's they're kind of.
Yeah, cute, like things aren't exposed. They're appropriate.
No, there's a little cleavage. That's about it. And I don't even think most of them even have that.
No, not really. It's mainly just that there's women in uniform is really what it is.
Yeah, nice models, actually. No, they're kind beautiful. Of fun to have them on the table, too.
Well, and then I guess
he's got a Kickstarter going, too.
Does he see? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's a Russian village. It looks really cool. Now, if it was an Asian village, I'd definitely be interested. I think one of these days I'm going to put a little effort into coming up with a few ideas of something that I want. And maybe I can talk Jorg into... Actually, I don't think I'll have any trouble talking Jorg into it if I come up with a good idea. He'll probably do it.
Well, that's how he did the Stalingrad terrain.
Yeah, fantastic, huh?
And I mean, that's clearly not under $20, but that stuff is beautiful.
No. Well, that's your over $100, you know?
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do Stalingrad, that's a good place to start. Tony Riga had a great setup in Hazar. I know you guys saw that.
Beautiful, just simply beautiful stuff.
Yeah, it was right next to me. I even took a picture so I could try to get hang high in the background.
That's cool.
Yeah, it didn't come out that good, but good enough for me.
That's okay. Yeah. Do you have anything else for your under $20 category?
Well, you can always get somebody a nice military history book at the used bookstore or even a brand new one, a paperback or something of that sort. I know there's only a couple of hundred that I want. You know, and I got too much stuff to read anyway, but I still want them.
So much good stuff out.
Yeah, there's some good books out there. That's about it for me. What's Adrian got?
I actually kind of went the same way that John did, except
see, you were making fun of me, both of you. Jeez.
Well, that's not your job, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think I was making fun. Maybe I was, but
not intentionally. I never do it intentionally.
Yeah, but I think. For the under $20 category, though, unless somebody's asking for something specific, I think I'd give gift certificate or something like that's a good way to go. I put down a gift certificate to litco.net. People that don't know them, Litco does gaming accessories basically, but they anything you need to base your figures, tokens, markers, they'll do custom size bases for you in MDF, plastic. They'll do any size, most thicknesses. But a $20 gift certificate to Litco will get you a fair amount of stuff from them. And they've got everything you need for modeling. They've got all the usual stuff, paints, glue, brushes, things like that. So Litco is a good choice. The other alternative to that, if you don't want to go with an online retailer, would be like, and I think this was on my list for last year too, but it's a good one, is the local craft store like Hobby Lobby or Michael's or something like that. Particularly if you got a train builder that you're buying stuff for. So that's kind of my under $20 suggestions. Like I say, unless somebody's asking for something specific, I think gift cards are a good way to go.
I love Litco. And I mean, I got to know them because we used to play War at Sea and they did all those War at Sea templates.
Yeah.
And the tokens and stuff that were beautiful. And I got a box somewhere of their bases. And what's really cool, because when you order their bases, you can actually choose, like you said, you can choose almost any size you want, any shape. And then you can really choose and customize so that you can, like you said, the depth of it for how thick you want it to be. But then you can also get them all magnetized and everything. And they do whatever. And if they don't have what you want, they will work with you to create a custom base or a custom movement tray. And they use just like really good quality wood. You can get all sorts of different options for that. And it's amazing how much detail you can do. So I think they do craft plywood, they do birch plywood, magnet, steel, you name it. Just about anything you can think of for any project, they're going to do what you need.
Yeah. Jeez, I got to take a closer look at that because I've got a game that I've been planning on making a movement trace for years. And of course, I haven't done it.
Yeah. No, they'll do it, and the prices are really pretty reasonable. So $20 will get you a huge bag of bases. If you have a box of bases, you should just give them to me because you're never going to use them.
Yeah, don't let them sit around in a box. What's the matter with you? They could be getting on the table, something happening with those things.
Yeah.
Don't be like me with boxes of stuff that just isn't going anywhere. I probably got stuff Adrian could use too.
I've got stuff I can use. I got stuff packed up in my
to-do. You do.
My to-do piles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to live another lifetime and do all the crap I got piled in.
Yeah. But that's kind of it for my under 20 guide.
Oh, I like the base thing. I'm going to check that out. The gift card stuff, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't know what it is. Doesn't seem like a gift to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying there.
I mean, if it's an emergency, yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, why not? Especially the digital one Jonathan was talking about.
Yeah.
That could really pull your fat out of the fire.
Yeah, it definitely can. Like, especially if it's a last minute kind of thing or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, no, I agree. If you just give somebody like a gift card or like Litco or something, all you get is you print out the certificate and you can stuff that into a Christmas card or something. That's not
right.
Yeah.
The complaint I always get when I buy gifts is you just buy stuff you like. And I says, well, what am I supposed to do? Buy stuff I don't like? So it doesn't go over too big around here. I'm not most of them want to buy their own gifts rather than have me.
Yeah.
Wargamers, though, I could probably take care of you guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not real great at buying gifts either, but.
Oh, well, we can't be good at everything. We're good at wargaming. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
So after that, I got nothing.
Yeah, play to my strengths.
There you go. So, yeah, take the path of least resistance. Sun Tzu, the only thing I remember. So what are we on now?
I don't.
What is this, like the midway price gift, the $50 gift or something like that?
Yeah, the $50 gift. So what I don't know what. So for the $50 price range, there's a lot of stuff in there that you can do. But one of the things that, and we talk about this on the show a fair amount, but the hobby is fairly expensive to get into. And it can be kind of a pain, particularly if you want to get into miniatures. And it's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to collect the models. Not everybody wants to assemble them. Not everybody wants to paint them. So board games are obviously a good way to go for those kind of people. There's a lot of really good historical board games out there that will scratch the itch for historical gaming. but you don't have
to. One.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to paint anything or collect anything else. You drop your $50 or whatever on the game, and you have everything you need. But the ones I recommend, I'm a huge advanced squad leader player.
I've never tried
but
it.
It's a very difficult game. It's difficult to get into, and it can be expensive to get into. If you buy the regular advanced squad leader starter kit, or not the starter kit, but the rule book, and then everybody usually starts with Beyond Valor, which is Eastern Front stuff. But if you buy both of those, it's going to set you back over $100. But if you want, and it's an extremely complex game, so you may not love it. But if you want to give it a try without spending all that money, the company that publishes Advanced Squad Leader, ASL, has what they call starter kits. And there's three of them, Starter Kit 1, Starter Kit 2, Starter Kit 3. And they slowly introduce the game kind of step by step. So Starter Kit 1 just has the very basic stuff that you need to get going. So it has the rules for infantry and rules for basic terrain, buildings, woods, fields, things like that. It doesn't even have hills, because then you introduce line of sight, and they consider that too hard. And then Starter Kit 2 introduces ordnance, so onboard artillery type stuff like anti-tank guns, small and medium mortars, things like that. It also adds hills and multi-story buildings into the mix. And then Starter Kit 3 gives you the whole money. It adds armored vehicles and transport vehicles into the mix. And they
cover all of World War II?
They cover,
or is it just Europe?
No, they cover all of World War II. So
Burma, China.
Burma, China.
Really?
The whole Pacific campaign, yeah.
Yeah, I don't care so much about Pacific, but I don't care about China and Burma.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting stuff to me.
Yep, they do. And so Multi-Man Publishing is the guys who make it. But you can buy any one of the starter kits, and it has everything you need, so it's got the complete rules for that. And you don't have to buy the Starter Kit 1 and 2 and then get 3. If you buy Starter Kit 3, it has all the rules, infantry, artillery, and tanks. But it's set up in such a way that it gives you the core mechanics of how everything works and everything you'll need to know to ease your way into the main game, but not at the same level of detail. So there's some stuff that's left out, that's left as a surprise for you when you dig into the main rule book.
I can't believe you got me thinking about buying another friggin'. Oh my God.
So why do I think that you thought of me when you were like, I'm going to put Starter Kit 1 on here because it's so introductory? Is that the one you were going to pull out to try to teach me?
Yeah, I'm going to bring that to TotalCon this year, and we'll see if we can get you playing it.
Okay.
But
I wish I had the time. I'd like to hang out with you guys and do that too, but I don't think I'll have the time to do it.
Well, to be honest, I don't think we will either, but I'll bring it along.
Well, you know what? Give me a glance at it anyway.
Yeah, but you can get the first two starter kits for less than $50, or you can just buy starter kit number 3, and that one I think is, that one might be $45, I'm not really sure. The thing is with Multi-Man Publishing is they're a relatively small outfit, and when stuff goes out of stock, it's going to be out of stock for a while. They won't reprint it until they have a relatively high demand. So you got to kind of watch what they've got available on the website. And if you want it, you kind of do need to place an order for it. Otherwise, you're going to be buying it from somebody at a gaming convention, and he's going to be charging you, say $500 for Festung Budapest. So
he's not going to be charging me $500.
It sounds like you speak from experience.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually buy it. I wanted it really bad, but that's obviously ridiculous. So,
but is it?
You didn't want it that bad?
Yeah,
it'll turn up. It'll be at some flea market somewhere.
It will, or they'll re-release it. So,
hey, eventually. Somebody said that some game designer was coming to AliceCon Saturday for the auction to sell a bunch of his games. So, maybe you guys might be interested in that.
Yeah.
Hey,
you might get something good.
Maybe.
But anyway, board games, that's for me. And there's a bunch of board game publishers out there, and some of them aren't really well known. Multi-Man Publishing is one, Avalanche Press is another, Lock and Load Publishing. I think Lock and Load is pretty well known, but they're all worth looking at for the gamer in your life. But that would be my suggestion for the around $50 price range.
That's a good suggestion. I don't think I can do much better than that.
It is. I think you'd get a lot of replayability out of an ASL kit, like if you really like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
There is something coming out that I think it's, you know, maybe just under $50, probably around $50. Is the Warlords coming out with some New Guinea stuff, you know? And Rich and I were thinking about doing Return of the King, that Nick Nolte movie.
Yeah,
I've got some Japanese that I'm putting together, and we've got some pulp figures, native type figures, but we wanted to get some of the New Orleans ones that are coming out because they're pretty nice.
Yeah, they did a really good Anzac setup.
Yeah, these you know, they're you know, native troops with, you know, they're in like loincloths with machine guns, you know. They'd be perfect. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. I read the book too. It's a little different.
Yeah, I never read the book. I did see the movie.
Yeah, the movie was the movie was okay, and the book was okay too. They were a little different, but you know, maybe itch to do the game. So one of these days, maybe you guys will get to play that.
That'd be all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool.
We'll let Rich run it so you can play with real rules instead of what I do.
Rich is a really good, not that you're not, I don't mean to imply that you're not, but like Rich is a really good GM. No matter which of you do it, it's going to be a great time for someone.
I have so much fun playing it. As a matter of fact, I one of my games didn't go off at Carnage, and he needed another player, and he asked me to play, and I had a really hard time saying no because I just felt like taking it. I went over and watched Leo's baseball game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't want to take you guys off the subject, but that's my job, too.
Right.
Do you have anything else, Mike, for your, like, $50-ish dollar range?
50-ish? Well, you know, there are some really nice buildings out there. As a matter of fact, the Warlord one, and Jorg hasn't made anything like Burma's type shack type buildings yet, but I'm going to start working on them on that. But Warlord's got a nice one that looks pretty cool, maybe for this game we want. And that's probably in the $50-$60 range, I think.
Do you remember what it's called or what it looks like?
No, I'd have to go on their website. You'd be sitting there.
But I actually saw it
at the hobby store. It's out. What was that?
It's like Chinese inspired in setting.
Well, it's more South Pacific inspired. You know, it's more like a grass hut type of thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, up on like
on stilts,
pylons. Yeah, on stilts. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice looking building. I'm not sure what the price was. No, everything's more than I want to spend. That's why I make my own stuff.
Your stuff looks good, too. When you're talented and you can do that, it's great. But someone like me, I'm not going to be able to do.
Well, hey, sometimes I look at something that I can afford, and you know what? I don't have to build it, so I buy it. And then I can build something different.
True.
So I'll buy stuff, but it's really hard for me to open that wallet and buy something when I know I can make it.
Can't blame you for that.
Yeah, it's just the way I am. So what do you got for your $50? I bet you have some interesting stuff. You've already been thinking about it since last Christmas.
So it's weird, right? So this is I got to admit, for whatever reason, this year, it was really hard for me to fill this particular category. For like a few months, I've been thinking, oh, this is what I want for like the really expensive category. And even for like the more affordable one, I knew that I wanted to put trees in, and I there were a few other things that I was kind of toying with that didn't make it in there, but like I had some ideas. But this middle category, it is so hard. And in previous years, usually I have so many ideas, I'm like, well, which one makes most sense for here? But this year, it's like, I don't know what to put in. And like things were either just slightly less, so they actually fit into the cheaper category, or they were slightly more. And I'm like, well, where do they go? Because if they're more than 50, but not quite 100, I have a hole in our tier system. So I was like, what do I do? And so that's why I realized it's okay for me to play with our rules for how we handle the gift guide. Just a smidge. And the first one, I didn't play with the rules. But it is something different than we've ever done for the gift guide. It's a product you can't buy yet. So people are probably thinking,
Now that sounds like something I want.
See, it grips you. So
I'm on the edge of my seat now.
This particular product, you can get the rules for free as a PDF download in December, but you can't get anything else for it until January. So, like, what you could do...
gives you time to read the rules.
It does. So you can kind of, like, figure out how to play. Sure. What I like about this kind of setup, and I've done stuff like this for gift ideas for my wife, and she's done for me as well. Say if we have a gift that we're going to get the person, and it turns out it's not going to arrive in time or whatever, we create kind of like these homemade vouchers or like a gift certificate kind of for it. So we'll put like the picture of what the thing is, and we'll say what it is or whatever, and like it's on its way or blah, blah, blah. And then like we wrap that up or put it in like an envelope or something, and like we make that the present. So then you open it and say, oh, I'm getting this thing. It's on the way. Kind of like if you special ordered something, you know?
Wow, you know what? I think I'm going to do that for everybody, and then I don't have to go get anything.
There you go. Well, I mean, you're going to have to order their stuff or whatever, but like...
Well, someone will order it. I'll just give them the money. They can, you know,
here's a picture of the thing. So
there you go. Get something else instead of what I told you I was going to get you. I don't care.
So you could do something like that for what this item is. And this is a brand new game coming out in January.
All right, come on.
Very excited about. Am I teasing it enough?
Yeah, that's enough.
So it's a new product by Footsore Miniatures, Gangs of Rome. The rules.
Oh, and yeah.
Yes, right?
I just saw somebody, Johnny
Grogan.
Johnny Grogan added me to the group. Oh, that, yeah. Facebook.
So the
I'm game all over designer, that. I'm not buying any of it, but I want to play.
The game designer, Andy Hobday, is, I believe, a part owner of Footsore Miniatures. He also works for Warlord. He created Tests of Honor, and I believe he was involved with the game design for Beyond Gates of Antares. He's actually going to be coming on our show early next year to be talking about all this stuff. And he's arranging for us to get a copy of Gangs of Rome so we can review it and so forth.
Cool.
It's a skirmish game set in ancient Rome where you, as the gamer, have this gang and you're trying to build up enough personal influence so that you can eventually become a senator or maybe even emperor. And there are different scenarios. It's very scenario driven. So one of them, for example, is there's a villa on fire and you have this battle over the villa and it's because there's rival factions that are going at it. What is very different about this game is there are no starter set or core set, no box set. You buy blisters of your miniatures and they come with cards and everything you need in order to use for that miniature. If you get a set of 5 miniatures, which is standard size for your gang, it costs 35 British pounds, which is about 46 American. So that gives you all the cards you need. So anyone who's played Test of Honor knows you have cards with your abilities and things. You can customize your models. They have history there, special abilities on the cards, comes with all the stuff you need in order to play. And they also have that you can buy. Sarissa is doing a whole line of ancient Roman terrain. They've only teased some photos from it. One of them is the Flavian Amphitheater, which looks gorgeous.
I saw that.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And
I want to make one of those for the longest time.
You get the set. You're going to have to paint it, but I am assured that even me could paint it quickly. So I told them I'm putting them to the challenge on that I'll have to get my hands on it. We'll see how quickly I can paint that thing so that it looks good.
Wow, you're going to be painting again. Amazing.
They're coming out with a deep cut mat, which is that mouse pad texture. I don't really like that kind of stuff. I'd prefer if they had worked with Cigar Box Battle, but I'm not the one who made that decision. The mat looks, I mean, considering it's mouse pad stuff, it looks fine. And it's pretty affordable. I think it's like 45 American, I think, for the deep cut mat. It's 3x3. So again, like Test of Honor, you only need a 3x3 space. So anyone can fit that in, right? They're coming up with a whole line of terrain ranging from like super cheap to like a few $100s for a terrain piece. You can do all of ancient Rome with it. You don't need a whole lot.
Get the whole Christmas thing covered here.
You do. I mean, everything you need could just be Gangs of Rome. But just to get started, the rules are free as a PDF, or you can buy them as a hard copy. It's like £8, I think it is. So whatever that is.
I think I'm going to give everybody those free rules. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go. So 46 American gets you the free rules and gets you a gang of 5 miniatures. It's a skirmish game, super easy to do. The sculpts are brilliant. They look so good. A lot of character in them.
I saw some of them. Yeah, nice.
Gingsofrome.com. We'll have a link in our show notes. We don't get any kickback or anything for it, but it's just, I'm really, really excited about this. I love ancient Rome.
Oh, hey, we like the hobby, man. This is going to be something fun, you know?
So, Adrian, we're going to have to play another ancient Roman game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's fine. I was been interested in this since I heard about it, I don't know, a few months ago. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to giving it a try. I'm going to paint stuff for it, but I probably will, because you don't need that much, really.
Five guys is standard.
Yeah, I think
that's all you need.
Even who hates to get into anything new because I got so much crap, I think I can handle five guys.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll bring a gang.
I mean, it's there you go. If everyone went in for one gang and Javert gaming groups, listeners everywhere, five guys, we can afford that, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, my wife can afford it because I think that's going to be another Christmas present.
There you go. That and like maybe a small terrain piece. They're going to be unveiling all that stuff early January.
Any terrain I'm making.
Well, I mean, I know you could, but like.
But I'm using their ideas to make it.
This stuff, the things that I've seen some stuff that's not.
Oh, yeah, they got beautiful.
Public stuff. Knowledge. And it looks so good. I saw a whole
teamwork really
of terrain, and oh my goodness. Oh, it was beautiful. I almost cried in happiness.
It's kind of killing me. I've had this 54 millimeter Gladiator game in my head for like 20 years. It's based in the Avalon Hill Gladiator game, but I wanted to simplify it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really killing me that I didn't do it. But who knows?
Do it in 28 mil.
Nah, well, I got all the 54 millimeter plastic and metal guys already.
Are they painted?
A few.
Okay.
A few. Enough for you and me to have a fight.
There you go.
Could actually, the three of us.
Yeah,
the three of us, you know.
You can just use those figures with the Avalon Hill rules. I've got the game in the basement. I haven't played it in years, but I love that game. It was fun. Yeah.
Well, there's something I want to do different, though. I don't want to play it on hexes.
Nah.
So you guys didn't go to Carnage, but John Ridley ran his Moby Dick game, right? And what how he moves his boats around is he's got two hexes. So the boat is on a hex, and you take the other blue hex and put it next to the boat, and that's the next space you move into. And that's the way I want to move the gladiators, if you can picture that.
Yeah.
But it will still be the same general movement as the Avalon Hill game, though. But bigger size miniature rather than, you know, we're only using one figure.
Sounds like fun.
Exactly.
It'd be kind of nice to have a big one.
Yeah, definitely.
So but, the next
there we go.
Off, next thing on my list breaks the rules. But just like
again.
I know.
How many times are you gonna break the rules today?
Because, hey, I
want to break rules, some rules.
So I get to break them.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, it's kind of like my game.
There you go. Right. Exactly. We all
not exactly, but pretty close.
Pretty close. So this is a board game. Right. Adrian, you were talking about board games. So this is a slightly more expensive board game. And actually, normally, it's almost $100, but it's pretty discounted right now. It's Axis and Allies 1914. It's $67.86 or less. Via our Amazon affiliate link. It is such a good game.
Have you played it?
We played this.
Oh.
Yeah, we played it at Battleground.
Oh.
Is it John Caputo has a copy, right?
Of?
Axis and Allies 1914?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So one of the things I love about it, because I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Axis and Allies World War II.
I think everybody does.
What I like about this is how they handle trench warfare, because that's really hard to, I think, emulate in a board game. And so they allow you, so if you invade a neighboring territory and you don't take it, troops stay there. And so they hang out until either side chooses to move more forces in. And so that kind of shows a slow grind of trench warfare, that you kind of keep having to rush reinforcements in. You don't really get anywhere. And then I also like how they've added in some of the historical flavor with what happens in an optional rule with Russia. So if you take a certain number of territories from Russia, they have the Russian Revolution and then they pull out and all that kind of stuff. And that plays into like how your forces are, and just, it's a very well done game. You're going to spend a lot of time playing it, but I think it's also possible to solo it. I'm not quite sure how that would work out, but I think you could do it. Something I want to try. I mean, I have the game table set up all the time, so I could leave it and give it a go, but it's pretty affordable considering. And there's even other places you can get it pretty cheap. Mass Drop usually does a thing where you can get it for pretty affordable as well. But so it's just slightly more expensive. But Axis and Allies 1914.
Yeah, I'd like to. I wouldn't mind having that. But you know what? I wish somebody would come out with maybe I'll do it. A World War One Middle East Africa. That's the interesting World War One stuff. You know,
they do have Africa in it. It's not just Europe. It's all of it. So
they don't have Asia. There was this great battle in Tsingtao, where the Germans were holding off the Japanese. And I'd love to do that.
I think I only think they cover Africa, Western Asia, like as far as Russia goes.
Yeah, well, that's
to the Urals and
that's the main theater anyway.
America, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Well, the stuff I'm talking about is obscure.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's Axis and Allies. It covers everything, like China and all that. But it's Axis and Allies. It's very abstract.
Right, yeah. Right. I'd like to have something that had a little more to it. Although, don't get me wrong, I'll play Axis and Allies anytime you want to play it. There's some games out there that have a lot more detail that look interesting, but I don't want to spend $100 on a game and have it sit on the shelf like all the rest of the stuff I got sitting on the shelf.
Well, the game designer for Axis and Allies, he lives in Mass, I guess, and he has a new game coming out. I can't remember the name of it, but they're doing a Kickstarter. It's World War II, Axis and Allies inspired, and it's like a 4-foot diameter map, and it's a polar view looking down. And
I've seen that.
Yeah, you track a lot of stuff. But I think it's like $100 on the Kickstarter.
It's got to be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
So like the people involved with it, like they're all Mass residents. And I learned that because there's an odd thing in there. They very finely explained all the shipping costs and about having to pay VAT and taxes and all that kind of thing. But there's a notation that says if you live in Massachusetts, they're going to absorb sales tax. And I thought that was odd. I was like, why would they absorb Mass sales tax? And it turns out several of the people, including the game designer, they live in Mass.
Nice.
Yeah. The last thing I have in my under $50 category is a Crescent Root Series 3 Hybrid 28mm building. You get your choice of three different colors.
Oh, there it is.
Huh? As a review, it's gorgeous. So it's hybrid because it's MDF and it's 3D printed plastic. And I got to tell you, looking at it, you would never know it was 3D printed because a lot of 3D printed stuff, they kind of have like that rough feeling. Adrian, you get a 3D printer. You know what I mean, right?
I do, yeah. It's a lot of them, especially the less expensive ones like the one I have, do have that rough feeling because they don't lay down the layers all that thin. Become a lot of that if you smooth it, if you smooth the print correctly after you do it, but that's kind of a pain.
Yeah, so.
Right. But if you have any modeling ability, you can make anything look pretty good, can't you?
Yeah,
even if it's a piece of crap, you can make it look good.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of effort. And the thing is, if you're printing something like with mine, I don't know how they print theirs. They might even have I don't know what kind of printer they have, but like with mine. Like if you print a wood building, which I did, and then if you smooth it using any of the usual techniques, you smooth away a lot of the wood texture too. So that's no good.
Yeah, that might be a little tough.
Yeah. But, you know, if you have a high – I mean, my printer only cost me $200, $250. And there are printers out there that are much better that cost thousands and thousands. So if you're doing it commercially, I would expect that's what they're printing on.
I would hope so, yeah.
But
it's only $38. You get three different colors. I mean, they have a whole different range. The doors open, which is kind of neat. The roof comes off. Inside's fully detailed, painted. You get the wood
floor. Makes that?
Crescent Root, with the tiles, and it just it's a nice piece. It's painted. You can get them cheaper if they're unpainted, but why would you? Because save time. it's a nice piece. So. $38.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think you can't go wrong. Like it fits in with all sorts of different terrain, so you can use it, of course, for any 28mm stuff. You'd be fine. It goes good with the trees that I showed off.
It does.
Are we ready to move to $100 and up?
Yeah.
Sure.
Who wants to start?
I think you guys better start because I have nothing.
Adrian, do you want to start or do you want me to?
No, I'll start because this just follows one from what you just did. My big one for the $100 and up is also from Crescent Root. But they have every gaming table should have a centerpiece. And they make a European style 28mm church set. Ooh. That is it's a gorgeous piece. It's great it's usable for Napoleonics, World War II we use it for, obviously. Anything probably from, I don't know, 1770s through modern times, this church would be good for it. It's huge. One thing about it that's, I suppose you could say it's kind of bad, is if you put it on the table, it's like everything is going to be about this church. It's that kind of that big. But it's, yeah, it's definitely a beautiful piece, and it's a great centerpiece for any battle, which is what we used it for at the game we ran at TotalCon. But it's a little spendy. If you just get the church, which is a multi-piece MDF thing, it comes assembled, but it's in multiple pieces, so when you set it down on the table, you got to kind of put it together.
Yeah, it has a tower, the I forget the proper name, but the, like the side wings come apart.
Asps.
There you go. Thank you. You would think, yeah, the Catholic would know that, but apparently I forgot.
Yeah, and the non-religious guy wouldn't, but go figure.
I went to church when I was a kid. I didn't know.
But yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful piece. And it's like I said, it's very big. So if you do buy it and use it, it'll definitely be the centerpiece of any table you put it on. But just the church building, if you buy that, that's $225.
The whole set's only $348. That's not bad.
Yeah, it comes with a base for the church and walls, and there's a small outbuilding as well.
Yeah.
So you can have this, you can have the church and the outbuilding and the walls on this base, and that would definitely, that would be like what your fight revolves around. And yeah, like if you price it out, the whole set is, it's about $353, something like that.
Whoa.
So it's pretty spendy, but if you're asking for it as a gift, you might as well go for the whole Megillah.
It's painted too, so you don't have to do a darn thing with it.
Yeah, painted and assembled, it's ready to go.
Just stop playing, huh?
Yeah.
Instead of being one of my projects that's half done.
Yep. So that's yeah, one thing. The other thing is, if you've got somebody, or if you're looking to get going in just a game, Warlord. I know we keep coming back to Warlord, but I do like that company a lot. They have a lot of armies in a box kits that will just get you going with everything you need right out of the gate. They have them for Black Powder. I think they have kits for Napoleonic, kits for American Rev War. They may have an army in the box, a starter kit for English Civil War. I'm not sure about that. They've got Band of Brothers for World War II, Bold Action. And those run from, I think they're like $120 on up to $160, $170, depending on, you know, which particular box you get and what's in it. But they come with enough figures for at least one army. They'll come with a rule book. It's not the big, you know, hardcover rule book, but a smaller softcover rule book. But everything you need to get at least one army on the table. So that's a pretty worthwhile expenditure.
Yeah, I bought a Japanese starter army. I thought that was a pretty good deal. I got a lot of good stuff in.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got on their website, they have, I forget what they call it exactly, but basically it's build an army, and it's a little kind of calculator, and you can just add the different parts that you need to build whatever force it is you're trying to put together. And it'll come up. Yeah. It'll come up with a price. And I believe the price is actually a little bit discounted then. So it's like, yeah, you get a little bit of a discount for buying the set, if you will.
Yeah, so spending a little money, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So that's worth looking at.
Well, yeah, I like that they just make it easy to do it. You don't have to worry. You just, they walk you through it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're helping you out, but it's obviously in their best interest too. So,
yeah, but other companies don't do that. Like, if when you get into historicals, if you come from anywhere else, and you're like, "What do I do?" What do, you pick a rules that you like, and then where do you go from there? Where do you get the terrain? It's so disjointed and separate. It can be overwhelming for someone. So, like, that's a good way to kind of just ease them into it.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
You know, the first time I ever built an army, I only built one of the armies. My buddy Kenny built the other one. And we did it on 172 scale plastic stuff. And, you know, anybody that wants to get into this can spend not a ton of money and get a couple of armies to, you know, we did Gettysburg. Of course, we did it, you know, not the way anybody else would do it. But you can do almost anything with those plastic guys. And they have just about everything out there. You could probably do Gangs of Rome in a box of plastic, you know? You could have a whole 10 gangs in one box.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, five maybe.
Yeah, the 172nd stuff is pretty nice. The thing with it is nobody really has, there's no, at least like for the stuff that I'm into, there's no one particular vendor who makes 172nd or 20 millimeter scale figures that has everything you want to need. You have to get some of your stuff from Plastic Soldier. Then you have to go to Hat to get some other stuff. Then you have to, you know what I mean? Nobody's.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. I don't think that's a bad thing, though. I'd rather have the mixed manufacturers, even in the stuff that I do regular. I don't really want it all from one manufacturer.
Yeah, as long as they're close in scale. Yeah, because, I mean, let's face it, not everybody's 28 millimeter is 28 millimeter.
Heroic. Well, not everybody's the same size either, so.
Yeah, true, but.
You know? Unless it really looks clunky, you know? I mean, one thing I noticed is Italieri 172nd just seems to have just a crisper casting than a lot of other ones do. I really like those a lot. Now, if you want to have a command or something like that, those are the ones.
Vesta's another really good one for that, too.
Vesta's nice. I have some Vesta.
Expensive, but the really good castings.
I actually have a Vesta miniatures game that I've never even broken out.
Oh, wow.
You should do it.
I actually just bought a handful.
You should do a lot of things. You should see the terrain that comes with that. Boy, is that junk. What was that, Adrian?
Oh, I was just saying, I just bought a handful of Vesta Panzer IIs for Battle Group.
Oh, awesome.
I haven't painted them up yet. But,
nice stuff.
Yeah, but they weren't expensive. They were maybe $350 a piece. They were cheap.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, now you're talking.
So I went really spendy on my 100 and up category. Like really, really spendy.
Okay.
And it's a lot. Like a lot. So the first thing is you gotta get it painted, so it costs extra for them to paint it, but it's worth every penny. It's a Dwarven Forge painted Royal Stronghold Castle. There's a $250 deposit towards it, but the grand total is $2,090 plus taxes and shipping.
Is that going to be under your tree this year?
Oh, man, I would.
I can answer that. No.
No way.
No. That's money towards a car. But
yeah.
Crescent might not be under anyone's tree. Wow.
Crescent Roots Church is looking like a bargain now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely gorgeous, and I don't have it here to show in the video, but what I do have, because Dwarven Forge is wonderful, and Stefan Procorni, who's going to be on the show in early January, so great stuff. We did some videos on. But Dwarven Forge, it's beautiful pieces. They make them intended for D&D and things like that, but you can really use them for wargamers. And they actually have a set that I should have put on the list, and I didn't. It's probably the most versatile $58 I think a wargamer could spend, other than on trees. And they call it a Stone Ruins add-on pack. $58, you get a bunch of pieces, they're painted, they're stone, you can use them for just about anything. There's like floor sections, so you could like, you don't even need to buy any of the other stuff. You get this, put them on pylons, you got these nice little stone corners that could be really good spots for snipers to be. It's like 25 millimeter scale, but it's great for 28 mil, so you could do any of that. The stuff is just gorgeous, it's very durable, I call it toddler proof. So the castle would be the same way. The castle would fit in with this. If you had any other Dwarven Forge stuff, it all just goes together.
Yeah.
And you could even use it with the Crescent Root. Like, the stuff looks good together.
Yeah.
So I did a whole table. I did a time-lapse video. And I put my Crescent Root stuff out. I put all the Dwarven Forge stuff out I had. Made it kind of like a little city view. And it looks really good. But that castle is gorgeous. It's modular. It has these four big towers with, like, even taller towers on it. There's fortifications, a central keep, a drawbridge that works, and everything. I know, I'm so excited about it. Everything can come apart, and then you can mix it up. So if you don't like the way that it's configured, you can do a different configuration, or you can just pull the tower off and you can use it as a watchtower or as a thing. And the walls pull apart, so you can see inside. You can have your battles. It'd be great for skirmish. You could do all sorts of medieval. You could do a World War II in it. You could do, Mike, you could do your game. It could be a castle that somehow Europeans built over near Hanghai for whatever reason, and you got it, and you could do anything with it. Painted, it's gorgeous, it's not cheap, but man, I want it.
Well, if you get it,
go ahead.
If you get it, we'll find a use for it. I mean, there's plenty of things you could use it for. I mean, like Song of Blades and Heroes, Frostgrave, Lion Rampant, plenty of things.
Frostgrave, yes.
Yeah.
You're going to make me, now I'm going to admit something I probably shouldn't admit.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
I was going to build a castle. And it's about maybe about a third built right now. And it's in a box. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get to it. And the whole idea was behind this was I was building this castle for my son. He was probably about 5 at the time. And now he's 31. And it's still not done. But I really like to finish that damn thing.
I love a castle.
Yeah, castles are cool. Leo Gallant made a really cool castle. And he ran it for a couple of years at I think he sold it, but he ran it at Carnage a couple of years. Really cool game. I provided some of the miniatures for that. 50 millimeter like barbarians and knights and stuff like that. It was a big siege game.
Yeah.
Like a 5x6 castle. It's pretty cool.
You can't go wrong. There's Dwarven Forge released videos of this. As you go on YouTube, we'll have a link. And it shows Stefan building it. I'll just lay in bed at night and I'll be like, I'm not quite ready for bed, but I want to watch something. And I'll just pop the video on and it just makes me happy. And then I'm like, now I can go to sleep. And then I dream about the sheep, castle. Huh? And, oh, man. If someone wants to get me this castle, no one's going to get me.
I'm never going to
But darn. Like, they sold out because it was a Kickstarter thing. And they raised, I think it was like $3 or $4 million for this.
Mm.
And they sold out and everyone got them. And people were like, we want castles. We didn't back the Kickstarter. So now they're doing this pre-order thing. It's the last time you will ever be able to get this castle.
Oh,
like, oh, how can I come up with $2,090 plus taxes and shipping to get this castle? I don't know how. But I've honestly thought about like just putting a deposit and see what happens.
Get the mortgage money.
Oh, that's what it is. It's like, do we want to live in our house for a month? Or does daddy get a castle? I know what my wife... I'm glad I'm downstairs.
You don't have the answer to that.
No, I don't. I'm going even more spendy with my next one, if that's possible.
Oh, you're awful.
I am terrible. So this next one, it turns out
I have a family... Couldn't come up with something that somebody could afford?
No. But I have a family connection, which I didn't realize, to this next one. Okay, so a custom gaming table, such as the kind you can get via Wormwood or via BoardGameTables.com. So my wife has a cousin who's in charge of making all of the wooden dice towers from Wormwood. Never knew until we were at a wedding not long ago. And he's like, my mom says that you do a gaming podcast and we should get in touch. And who knows what's going to come out of it. But I have daydreams of someday getting a custom Wormwood gaming table at an affordable price. But you can get Board Game Tables they call it a Titan. It's a 4x6 table. They do smaller ones for board games, but a 4x6 for miniature war gamers. And it starts at $2,499. Wormwood doesn't even give a price because they get to quote you for whatever you want. And I mean, we all know about like the Sultan and Geek Chic. And I mean, they're not around anymore, but there's a lot of these companies that do this kind of stuff. Really gorgeous, handcrafted wooden tables. They're going to last forever. You can get insets on them so you can use them as a dining table if you want. You just leave it out. They're beautiful. You pass them down in generations. This stuff would live with your kids and your kid who would probably just sell because they wouldn't want. But it'd be beautiful. And I can just picture having it in my gaming space instead of the affordable mock-up that I have. And then like all the videos would have it, would have their logo. And just it's beautiful, but it's spendy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Makes the castle sound like they're giving it away.
Doesn't it?
Be nice to have one. I've got a couple of friends that have built their own, and they did really nice work. They're nice. I'm gonna build something. I'm going basically sawhorses with a piece of plywood on. I just want to play.
Well, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we did an episode talking about an affordable gaming table, and this is what Court has done, Adrian. You get a 6-foot folding table. One of those nice resin ones. Yep. And then you just get a nice big piece of plywood or a roofing shingle, I think is what it was, because it was not shingle. It's like plywood, but it's a roofing something or other. It's in the episode. And can you tell it's been a long time since I've done that? But you put that across, and then you just put like felt or whatever you need on it. So that's what I use. And I mean, it's sturdy enough. It was all of like maybe $50-$60, I think, for that.
Yeah, there you go.
But some people do. IKEA has some... They're not real tables, but they're like things that they use and they repurpose them for like this IKEA hack people do. And they get these things, they put it together, and then it's a gaming table. But like, wouldn't a nice, well handcrafted gaming table just be really nice?
You know what I'd like to get my hands on would be one of those nice hardwood library tables.
Oh, yeah.
Those are pretty nice.
Heavy.
Yeah. I mean, be perfect size to run a game on. I'd need two of them.
You would, or three.
Yeah, well, three. I'd like to have three anyway.
Nice stuff, though.
Yeah, really nice.
And then my third thing is not as spendy, but it's not cheap either.
It's not thousands?
No, it's not. It's downright affordable in comparison.
Okay.
You got to go, especially if you've never been, but you got to go to a gaming convention. So you can go to TotalCon for $353.18 and up, or you can go to Huzzah for $268.26 and up. That gets you like you go and stay at the hotel on site because you're going to have more fun. You don't have to worry about driving anywhere because Adrian, you made that mistake. once at Huzzah, and gets you into the convention. You play all these games. You can eat. It's a vacation for yourself. And it's so much fun. You're going to meet people you wouldn't normally meet. And like, I'm really excited for TotalCon 2018. I think it's going to be a blast. A lot of fun stuff going on. And Huzzah is going to be wonderful. But wherever you are, you can find a gaming convention near you. And people are just going to have a really good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love those things. Those are my vacations.
They are?
You know, I haven't taken a week's vacation in years. But that kind of relieves that, because every once in a while I get to go to a convention. I get to do what I like to do and meet the people I like to hang out with. And it's fun. I mean, that's a great gift.
So that's what I have.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Mike, what's on your $100 and up category?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
You want the things that I put on mine because they're so awesome?
Well, that would be nice. Yeah, I would like to have the table and the castle, especially just all the supplies and miniatures that I need to just enhance my game. You know, I want to do some kind of upgrade in the water, but now I'm going off. Actually, there are a few board games that I would like to get that are around. Board games are starting to be like $100 now.
They're not cheap.
Yeah, they're definitely not cheap.
No, they're getting crazy, and that's why I don't buy them as much. It's like I see the game, I'm like, oh, geez, I'm really going to have that, but then I know it's going to sit there. You know, my son doesn't play anymore, so I don't have anybody that I can just drag over to the table and play a game with.
Yeah.
Although I have been thinking about doing some solo stuff, just because I got so many games, I hate to have them sit there and do nothing. So I might start that up as kind of like a little distraction. But there's this one game. It's kind of the whole Japanese theater war in World War II. I forget the name of it. I think it's Rising Sun or something like that. Looks really good. Of course, looks can be deceiving, but
I've been burnt a few times by that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But most of the stuff I bought over the years, I'm not disappointed with. I just haven't been able to play it like I want to. You know, I have games that are nice, you know. I mean, you guys must too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely don't use everything I purchase, at least not at the time I purchase it anyway.
Right. I mean, I got stuff that's not even punched out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I guess collector's items, if I don't punch them, I don't give a crap about that stuff. I'd rather plant. And, geez, I don't know. How about a whole – actually, I wouldn't mind having some 40-millimeter Robin Hoods. That's why I have a Japanese army, you know.
Yeah.
Chris Parker didn't go to Huzzah, and I had all this money burning in my pocket. I was going to buy Robin Hood stuff, so now I'll never do Robin Hood because I blew that money that I was going to spend on. And I bought a Japanese starter box, and who knows what else I bought while I was there, too. I was like a drunken binge buying stuff I probably didn't even need. But now I have a bunch of Japanese, and I'm playing in Shanghai, so I really won't regret it. But
yeah,
I did really want to do a Robin Hood game real bad. I'm hoping Wendy Stone does it because she's been collecting stuff. And I gave her the Robin Hood book that I had bought. So maybe we'll get to play if she ever does it.
So a couple of the guys weren't able to be
sad.
On.
That's pretty sad. Over $100 thing. But that's about it for me.
No, that's okay, though. So some of the guys weren't able to be on the episode with us, but they made some lists that they wanted to share.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's see that.
So Joshua, who is our show notes scribe and audio editor living down under, he shared.
I'd love to get on a show with him sometime.
A few things that he missing something. A few things that he thought would be really good gift ideas. So for under 20, it's the Army Painter Dark Tone Ink. It's $5.85 via our Amazon affiliate link. So it's kind of like the Army Painter Quick Shade, sort of, except it's in a paint bottle, 18-millimeter dropper bottle, and so it's an ink. So like some people do, you know, that future Florax kind of mix or whatever to get ink. But like you just get this and it's going to beautifully shade your models and it also kind of protects them. And it goes really well with the quick shades that they've done from Army Painter, because they get like the medium tone, the light tone, and then the dark tone. So like this just works really well with it and just kind of matches it. Super affordable. Yep. So I think it's a neat addition to the list. And then he has done one item per list. And his middle item, I gotta say, I'm a little I'm sure it's very useful.
I gotta pull the list up now.
So it's a Citadel miniature repair kit. It's $20. And what this is, and like the more I think about it, the more I think it's useful. It's a keychain that has this little, it almost looks like a, for people who remember actually using real film when you photographed and with the camera you had to send it off, it almost looks like a little film canister that you can then put super glue in. It doesn't come with a super glue, but you could then put like a little tube of super glue in. And then it, on the other end of the keychain is this tool that's basically kind of a scraper so that you can scrape off any old glue or things that are stuck on your model. So that way you can kind of just scrape off that old glue and get a nice clean finish. And then you have the super glue so you can repair. And how I can see this being useful is if you're at a convention, you're at a tourney, and you accidentally knock over a miniature or someone else does and they break it and you want to do like a field repair, you have this with you so that you can then just do, I feel a little weird paying $20 for it, but I mean, you get the tool, you get the keychain and the canister, so you can put the super glue in, still get a supply of the super glue. So,
yeah, but it's all in one place, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, so it's useful. And then he must have been like channeling all of us, because for his expensive thing, it's a Renedra Standard Castle Bundle, and it costs, that's in Australian dollars, it costs $455.14 American. You can get it from warandpeacegames.com/.au. It's an Australian place. I tried to find any American places that had it, but I could not. But it's by Renedra. You get 6 Renedra towers, 8 wall sections, 1 tower midsection add-on, and the sizing is in... it's in centimeters, so I'm not going to convert. But it's 86 centimeter frontage by 65.5 centimeter sides. It's a nice looking piece. It really is. So if you want a castle, this is something that you can do. And it's just, it's going to be good. I think people will like it. And then Jamie, who is a social media coordinator over in Norway, he also gave us a list. His is very long, but I kind of abbreviated his list. So his affordable thing is a premium subscription to War Game Soldiers and Strategy magazine. It costs $17.52. We have an affiliate link, which you can get by going to our show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR197. I don't know about you guys.
Is that all that is?
Yeah. So War Game Soldiers and Strategy is doing a weird thing, because I looked at it and I was like, this can't be right. You can either get a 1-year subscription and you pay more. It's something like almost $40 American for 6 issues, because it comes out every other month. And then they give you like discounts and stuff. And that's for the print. Or you can do the premium subscription and they charge you every 3 issues. So it's $17.62 for every 3 issues. And that's still cheaper, because I was like, okay, so that's 3 issues. So if you do it for twice a year, it's still cheaper than doing a basic 1-year standard subscription. But this is a print subscription, so I don't quite understand how they're able to do it, but it's free shipping worldwide. You get better discounts.
So I'm interested, maybe.
It's. I mean, do it twice, and you got a year, and it automatically renews.
I'm not subscribing to anything right now, so maybe.
But it's a good thing. I got to say, I had a subscription that I had won, a digital sub I won at Huzzah, and we talked about in the Huzzah episode how they didn't have it at the auction, so I didn't do it again. And I was going to subscribe on my own, but I actually got my work to do a 1-year print subscription to it. Mm-hmm. So there I can go. Just go to the local library and get it. And I was like, this way I can get other people can access. I'm going to grow the hobby. It's not going to cost me anything. But you could get a subscription, $17.52. It's not a bad thing.
No, and then, that's a good deal.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful magazine. Very well done. Right. Probably my favorite wargaming magazine out there right now.
Yeah, I like that magazine.
And then Jamie did he did the same thing I did. He broke the rules a little bit. So his under $50 category, he has a couple entries in there. They're both things from Games Workshop, but you can get them on Amazon via our affiliate links, so they're a little cheaper. And they're all like complete all-in-one sets for Warhammer. So one of them is called Warhammer Underworld Shade Spire. It's $51. And it's a, like a Warhammer 40K game. And they have like add-ons and things that you can get for it. It's a combat game, two-player. You build a warband. It's like deck-driven, and you can get extra stuff for it and special dice and everything. And then he also included another one called Warhammer 40K First Strike, and this is the 40K starter set. So it has like all the things that you need to kind of get going and basic rules and all that sort of stuff, and it's super affordable. He loves GW. He loves 40K. He plays with his kid. His kid's like, oh, geez, how old is this kid? Five or six? Six, maybe? So it's kind of neat. So you can get those on Amazon. And then his $100 and up, he's doing World War II in 15 mil. So he suggested figures like Peter Pig or Battlefront, a plastic soldier company. And he went into a whole thing like on how you could do different rules, chain of command or flames of war or whatever, and, you know, terrain and all that kind of stuff. So you could just get a variety of things and do like a whole kind of setup, $100 or more for the gift. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I don't do 15s, but the nice thing about 15s is you can do these huge engagements compared to what we can do. Well, you can do it with 28s too, but you can't really do it the same way. The 15's kind of nice. If you did that on my table, you know, you could probably do Market Garden or something.
I got to say, the only 15 I've ever really had experience with for World War II is Battlefront for Flames of War, which I don't play anymore. But then when Sam Mustafa came on and he was talking about his new game, Rommel, you use 15s for that. Yeah. And you don't need as many, right, Adrian? It was a smaller number of troops that you need because it's a higher level game.
Yeah, it's a larger scale game. So one stand of troops is like a battalion or a regiment. But you can do it in any scale. You can do it in 28, 15, 6mm, whatever you want to do. It just depends kind of on how big of a table you've got or want to use.
Yeah, right. But like 15 just seems to make sense. And most people have a Flames of War army that maybe they're not using anymore.
Let's play in the backyard with toy soldiers.
You could.
I'm in. You know, buy some model tanks, except they're kind of expensive.
They are.
You know, $135. Oh, man. What do they go for now? You ever build any of those, Adrian?
Not for a long time, but yeah, they're crazy expensive now. I mean, it's probably $70, $80 for a decent model from somebody like Tamiya.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's forget that then. Good idea going down the drain.
I think that is our holiday gift guide for the years, gentlemen.
All right. Well,
nicely done.
So
I want it all.
Me too. I hope people will find it useful and, you know, use the links in our show notes. You can get those by going to wargamingrecon.com/WR197, and that'll let you get access to all this kind of stuff. A lot of variety here. So I like that.
As long as I get the Beachmaster on my stock.
Okay. Why don't we move on to what I'm not allowed to refer to as my favorite segment of the show anymore, although it is.
Which Why is not mailbag. That? Who said that?
I'm not naming names.
Come on.
But this isn't actually a traditional mailbag where it's feedback and I'm like, so-and-so said such and such about such and such. It's actually a discussion I want to highlight from our Wargaming Recon fan club Facebook group. So there's been a lot of talk about the recent episode we did. Alex was on. It was episode 196. We talked about playing Kings of War in 15mm. And the discussion...
Oh, I haven't listened to that, yes.
Oh, you got to tune in, my friend.
Oh, my God. You know what? I brought it up, and I told you the link was broken, and then I clicked on it. It came up, and I says, oh, I got it. And then I went back to listen to it, and I couldn't listen to it. It wasn't playing.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to go back. I forgot. And, you know, then I forget it. Oh, crap.
But you got to give it a listen.
Go ahead.
No, Alex had some technical difficulties, so I'm going to blame him for any issues that people have with that. But one thing people really zeroed in on, and something we've talked a little bit about in the gift guide, is a discussion Alex and I had about Test of Honor. So Warlord, and this is I presume a decision Andy Hobday was involved with, but Warlord is doing a new distribution method for the Test of Honor FAQ. And it caused a little bit of controversy, and Alex and I kind of talked about it. I'm not going to rehash the whole discussion because people can just listen to the episode. But basically, if you want to get the FAQ, you got to go to the Warlord Games website. You got to create an account with them if you don't already have it, which involves giving them your email address, you know, a password, a username, and your physical mailing address. You then have to add the FAQ to the cart and buy it, quote unquote, buy it. Costs $0, but quote unquote, buy it. And then you check out and you pay $0 for it. And the reason why the with you in this is that they want to be able to give you updates on it. So whenever it's done, they will send you an email and say, oh, we got a new version, and here you go. So some of the discussion has revolved around whether Alex and I were being a little ridiculous in our opinion on it, because both he and I felt like you shouldn't have to go through all those hoops to get it. And we've had some people chime in who think that Warlord's just doing a really good thing here because it's great for it to be like a living FAQ. And
well, then like, let them enjoy it then, because there's no way I'm doing that.
Like, no? if you're going to buy from Warlord anyway, that's fine. But there's so many other distributors and game stores. Yeah. I think most people don't have to buy. Not good enough for you? Like, why can't they just put it on the website? Just be like, here it is. Here's a link to it. They update it every so often, make an announcement on social media. Ugh. I don't get it.
I don't know. That sounds like a crock to me.
And Alex had a great response that I am going to read, or at least in part. And he says, quote, as a consumer, I largely believe in the customer coming to the seller. As a customer, when I want something, I'll come to you. I do not want to be reached out to generally by a seller about anything. There are a million ways to find out information. I don't need to be notified. This is why something like signing up with them in order to get core gameplay tweaks is preposterous to me. Not to mention, if I paid for your game, I expect your corrections for free. Free meaning with no strings. That said, it is their property, and I respect the right for them to do with it as they wish. They just won't get a sale from me, unquote.
Well, they can do whatever they want, but it's right up there with an annoying phone call that you don't want to get, you know?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
There's been a lot of discussion about it, and I will say Andy has probably...
Those people that love it can love it, you know? It's okay.
Well, a lot of people out there in the internet land think it's ridiculous that some people are having issues with it. They're like, why do you care? Stop being an old ninny. Just go and do it because you want the FAQ. So just do what you need to do to get it. But Andy has come out and said he's going to look at it again and try to reevaluate to see if there's another way that Warlord can do what they want to do, you know, the end goal of how they want to get it to people without requiring people to, like, go through their web shop and
purchase. Hey, they can do whatever they want. I'm not buying into that crap, you know? I'm going to be an old ninny.
If you have to do all that, I haven't paid attention to it because I don't own Test of Honor. I won't buy it. I'll be happy to play it any time, but I'm not going to buy it. But if you have to jump through all those hoops just so they can push an email out to you, why can't I just give you my email address?
Right, exactly.
What is hard about that? Yeah, I mean,
so I can delete you when you come in. You
know? Yeah, I mean, I've got an account on Warlord's websites. They've got all my information already. I don't care, but it's stupid to make it hard.
Right.
For me, it's a larger thing. Like, some people have privacy concerns. I think it's just inconvenient, very unfriendly, but it's also a larger thing for me because
I think it's funny that people on the internet have privacy concerns, but go ahead.
So, Adrian, remember when we were prepping for Bolt Action for Total Con? And I was like, I'm going to get the quick reference sheet for us for Bolt Action so that we can have it. We'll give it to the players and everything. And like, I looked and I couldn't find it online. I'm like, where the heck is this? How is it not available? And then I found it online. And it was the wrong edition. And Warlord, for whatever reason, and they still haven't fixed it, and they do it with Hail Caesar too. So it's not just like a Bolt Action thing. It's not just a Test of Honor thing. It's hard to find any of this other, what I would call core stuff. Any erratas, any FAQs, any special game guides, things that they had at one point or intend to now make publicly available. But they make it hard. You can't find the darn things. Even to find the article on the website about the Test of Honor FAQ, I really had to dig and do a lot of searching. It wasn't in like the getting started section of Test of Honor. I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. In like Bolt Action should be the same thing in the getting started. There's a whole thing with Hail Caesar where the game designer was like, I wrote the rules, but there's all these errors in it that like got published or whatever. Maybe I don't know whose fault it was for the errors, but all these errors got in and questions and clarifications and FAQs. So he has a handwritten thing that he's kept. And then he posted it online in like the Hail Caesar group. Why can't they just make that a PDF and put it up on their website and get it? Like, you shouldn't have to work this hard to get this stuff to play the game that you bought.
I'll never work that hard. You know, I don't give a crap. I don't give a crap about your rules anyway.
I mean, right, Adrian? It's just, I don't think it needs to be that difficult.
Yeah, it's like when I search Google for, you know, Bolt Action reference sheet second edition, the first link that should come up should be to Warlord's website, and it's not. It's some random guy's blog who put one together himself.
Right.
or at least it was. It's probably different now. I'll say this. Warlord's been doing a lot of work on their website, particularly around the forums. They've had some security issues and concerns. So it's possible a lot of this will get worked out with that. I don't know. But, yeah, they've got some – it'd be nice if they could do some work on the stuff like that that should be available easily.
I mean, I'm just
– and like Hail, the whole thing with Hail Caesar, I didn't actually know about that. But, yeah, it's like –
that's been out for a long time, too. It's not like it's a new game, right?
Yeah, a long time. And if you publish the rules with that many holes in it, yeah, you really kind of need to get the PDF up of all the corrections. Or a second edition of the rule book, I would have cut with the corrections in it. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't go and buy it, but still.
Well, I mean, they did it with Bolt Action. They did a second edition to fix stuff. And a lot of the fellas are from Games Workshop. And what does Games Workshop do? And what have they done for a long time? They either come up with another edition that fixes it, or they release the PDF for free and they make it easy to find on their website.
Yeah.
How hard?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's probably legitimate reasons, but yeah, they could work on that a little bit. Still one of my favorite companies.
I love them. And I think maybe they're using the Test of Honor FAQ with this new method as kind of a test case.
Yeah, it could be.
To see like, oh, if this works, if people like it, that they'll then draw in all the other stuff. Like maybe they'll have an errata for Hail Caesar, or maybe they'll have the quick reference guide for Bolt Action or whatever, and they'll make it available that way. Because I can see it being very easy for them to do it that way, for them to manage, as opposed to just having all these different PDFs and all these different parts of the website. But even so, like, customer first.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even really care. You know, it doesn't mean a thing. I like their products, and I'll continue to buy them, no matter what stupid thing. But as far as their rules go, if we're playing the game, you guys are running the rules, and I'm asking you, what do I do now? Because I am not studying those set of rules, because I'm not going to remember it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't care. So that for not that, and why would you care whether I care for that matter?
Just it was a very interesting discussion, and so we have
that's interesting. I'm glad you brought it up. I'd like to throw my two cents in, you know.
Yeah, so people can always chime in on that. Postings on the Facebook group can chime in about this on the Facebook group. So while we got it,
listeners out there, give Jonathan some feedback so he's not making these decisions on one thing that somebody complains about.
So say we have some announcements. We mentioned the Facebook group, so chime in on there. I want to take a moment to thank our Wargaming Recon Army members. I want to thank Patrick and Kyle from Vermont. And I want to say we have some big changes coming to the Wargaming Recon Army, aka Patreon. I talked about it in the last episode, but briefly, December 2017 is the final month with the current reward levels. We're doing a lot of changes that'll be implemented January 2018. Very excited about it. New ways that people can get physical rewards, new ways that you can kind of make suggestions to us for games to play that we'll then buy and we'll review and do. And then there are other reward levels where, like, you get to be a producer. So you can say, like, I want you to do mailbag first. I want you to cover this topic because you've never talked about this topic. And then you really get to be involved with us and kind of help shape how we do an episode of the show.
What if you only get one feedback and it's, I don't want you to do mailbag at all? Then what are you going to do?
Decisions are made by those who show up. So we have a lot of changes coming to Wargaming Recon Army.
The stark answer.
And you can support the show for as little as $1 per month. You can do that by going to wargamingrecon.com/Patreon. And we do have all sorts of reward levels there. But like I said, January 2018, there's going to be a lot of changes. And actually, speaking of January, guys, we're getting near the end. We only have one more new episode for this year.
Oh, no. What's the episode going to be about? Do you know yet?
I believe you're supposed to be on it because I believe talking about...
I made a promise?
I believe you did. I believe you're talking about Carnage. So we're going to talk about some of the gaming that we've done, what's going on, and then I believe we're going to talk a little bit about Carnage 2017.
Yeah, I posted my my Carnage album on the fan club. Did you look at any of those?
I did. Yeah. We'll be able to chat about that. That episode comes out December 11th, and that's the last new episode. And then we do our two best of episodes on December 25th and January 8th. And then we have our break and we come back January 15th of 2018 with episode 199.
Wow.
So we're getting close. 200's near.
Well, that's, what are you going to do for 200? It's going to have to be something special.
It is.
You're going to have to light a firecracker or something.
It's a secret. We can't talk about it yet. But we got things in the works. So it should be a lot of fun. hope people will like it. And that's what we got. We got the episode guide. People can go and check that out, see what's going on. Show notes, as I said, wargamingrecon.com/WR197. I think we kind of covered everything. What do you think, fellas?
I think so. Everything and then some.
Yeah, we got it all.
Well, I guess we did.
Thank you both for being on the episode. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
It was fun, like it always is.
I want to thank everyone who took the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. I know you all have very busy schedules. This is a long episode. Holiday Gift Guide is always a very lengthy episode because we get a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff in our lists, and we want to share it all and just try to make life easier for you. But know that... Well, yes.
It's nice that you can listen to it whenever you want, and you don't have to listen to the whole thing at once. Listen to some of it, listen to the rest of it later. It's
pretty cool. A lot of people like to do it while they paint, or some people listen while they commute, or you know, maybe you're one of those people who go to the gym. You might listen to it when you're at the gym or whatever, you're cooking or something. Just something, a way to pass the time.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So no matter how busy you are, no matter how much time you're spending figuring out what you want for your own personal holiday gift guide, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming.
Oh, you got that good. That was a good one. That was the best one ever.
Because it's the most recent one?
That's why, exactly why, yeah.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.